Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Today's show, focused on North Rutherford County, is brought to you by Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We welcome you back to the North Rutherford YMCA, and time to spend just a couple of minutes talking with State Representative Mike Sparks, along with some guests. Tomorrow being Veterans Day, Mike thought it would be good to at least mention some of the things that are going on with Veterans Day here in North Rutherford County. I know that they're having something in Laverne as well tomorrow around the City Hall, and also we've got something in Smyrna tomorrow as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11 o'clock at the town hall there, right there on Lowry Street. You'll flagpole 11 o'clock. Thank Ann Stewart for helping to put that together. But I just thought maybe we could kind of bring some awareness to that. And a lot of history, Major Jimmy Reed, that's up here with me, and Colonel Mike Waller, and they were just sharing some of the history. Some of the fellow veterans here were talking about the history of the Marine Corps and the Army.
Now, is it Colonel or Lieutenant Colonel? I've heard both.
I was a Colonel. And I won't emphasize I'm retired.
Retired now. Colonel. Isn't that how you have to put that?
That's right.
Now what was that with the Guard?
Yes. Yes. Tennessee Guard, 34 years, 34 good years, a lot of good friends, a lot of good memories.
You know, I think that being in the Guard has, I mean, you've got a regular life and that, too. I mean, that's a real sacrifice.
It is. It's a juggling act, especially when you're trying to raise a family and be involved in the community and do your responsibility with the Guard. But I was fortunate to have a good opportunity and a good supportive group around me.
Got to have it.
Got to see a lot of places and do a lot of things.
Major Reed, where are you serving currently?
Brian, Mike, first of all, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be here and to talk a little bit about Veterans Day and the things that our armed services are doing. I'm currently serving in Nashville at the Joint Force Headquarters, and I've had the privilege of being in the National Guard my entire career. I started right here in Smyrna, where I grew up, and I've served 22 years in the Army National Guard, so it's been a great honor and privilege to do that.
You're kind of tailing Mr. Waller here, aren't you?
Tailing him? Yeah, yeah. He was a mentor. Still is.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that is pretty neat. Why, in your opinion, I mean, you serve, and I think those of us who have not have our own thoughts about Veterans Day, but what does it mean to someone who's served? What is... That, you know, it's more than just a day on the calendar.
Yeah, in my humble opinion, you know, I think, you know, we all have our different reasons, you know, for service. And then when we can take just a day to remember the service of those that are serving, that are currently serving. You mentioned a minute ago with the National Guard, you know, being citizen soldiers. You know, we've had a lot of our locals that have gone and served, you know, multiple tours already overseas in the war on terror, and so it's a sacrifice, you know, just like generations that have come before us and done so and sacrificed. You know, we're seeing that today in this war on terror.
Yeah. Well, the you know, Jimmy's got a list of some of the folks that have lost their lives over in the Middle East fighting these two wars, and we wanted to mention those. I know my friend I work with at Nissan, Freddie Hahn, that I guess served with you over there, and Marcus Golzinski and a couple of others that's on there. I know Billy Jean Grinder, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I just want to, you know, express our acknowledgement to them and their families that have given their lives.
Are there any others on there that we need to mention?
Well, Freddie Hahn, like you said, he served with me. We trained together. We were deployed for, you know, 18 months in 2004 and 2005, and he was a Bradley gunner in my troop with the 278, and he was killed in a IED attack in August of 2005. And I know his family still lives close by.
Yeah.
And there was a couple others there with him that live in the local vicinity.
Yeah. You know, Freddie, one thing I always respected with him is that, you know, at the funeral, you know, they had a lot of the protesters there. And, you know, I mean, I worked side by side with him and never realized all the awards that he won. You know, and when they mentioned that at the funeral, man, that really hit me because, you know, you never knew this,
yeah.
that you're working with this guy. Never once talked about it. Just had a real humble attitude, man, and just great work ethic. And, you know, his family's went through a lot. You know, they lost their granddaughter over here on Rock Springs Road, the car accident. Then they lost their daughter to cancer. And then the mother, you know, she's got polio and really had a lot of obstacles to overcome. And then, you know, dealing with their son's situation. But, I mean, you know, you hear talk about heroes, and that guy, in my opinion, was a real hero. Just the fact that he won so many awards and never even shared it with anyone.
Mike, talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on Veterans Day being. How long have you been retired, by the way?
Well, I retired in 2004.
Okay.
So it's been quite some time. I guess, you know, a lot of things come to mind that mean more to you as you get older. But, you know, it's a symbolic event, just like a lot of things in our history. Veterans Day was a spinoff of the signing of the armistice after World War One.
It used to be Armistice Day.
It was Armistice right? Day, and that document was signed on at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason we now recognize Veterans Day on November the 11th. I think Congress made it a national holiday back in the 30s, something like that. But it's, you know, in our part of the country, and I'm sure everywhere else in every community, they recognize the veterans, those that have served in all services and all wars. Done their part to make the country what it is, and it's you know, there's you pick up the newspaper and listen to the radio, and you hear a lot of the bad things going on. But you know, even though this is a sad day for some families, it's still a very special day to those families as well to recognize you know, what their sons and daughters have done for the country
and continue to do.
Sure.
It's not only for those who
That's
have
right.
fallen; it's for all veterans. And I know that my wife's brother is a young man. I mean, he's in his mid-20s, but he's already been to Iraq 4 times.
Is
you
that
know,
right?
And has been deployed anywhere or been stationed anywhere from Virginia to Washington State. But is coming home. He's going to be stationed at Fort Campbell here, starting, I think, in a couple of weeks. So family's awfully excited about that, but he has made the sacrifice. And you know, I challenged everybody yesterday just to think in their families who they had and you know, give thanks that for their service, because we wouldn't enjoy the freedoms that we have without veterans. And Mike, I know that there's such an emphasis on the Wings of Freedom fish fry that you kind of help put together and coordinate along with a lot of other folks. But there is a strong stripe running through that to salute veterans always.
Sure. Sure. Just like this past year, we recognized all the veterans that served at Seward Air Base.
Yeah.
And we had, I think, 30 or 31 of those men to come out and visit with us. I mean, I guess the youngest was in his early 60s, and the eldest was in his 90s.
Wow.
That came, that served there. But, yeah, it's that's part of the fabric of this community.
I want to remind folks that if they can be at the Smyrna Town Hall tomorrow, also in Laverne, ceremonies going on there. The one that is in Murfreesboro. At the Rutherford County Courthouse, Miss Elsie Stem puts that together, and that'll be at 11:11 at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. And if you can't be there, we will have that. We broadcast it live every year, so it will be live on the radio this coming up tomorrow. So, any parting thoughts?
I just want to. Well, I have the microphone. I want to personally thank the citizens of this community for their support. You know, anytime we go somewhere in uniform, they're always going out of their way to say hello and thank you for your service. And we really appreciate that. That means a lot to us. And it's you know, just seeing all the local services that are giving discounts and things. We really appreciate that. And we just want to tell all those that are serving, that have family members that serve, that we're grateful for all that you do and for your sacrifices.
Yeah.
Very good. Major Jimmy Reed and retired Colonel
there
Mike Walker.
Go.
Waller, rather, joining us here at the North Rutherford Y. Appreciate it. And we're going to take a break for the news. Ron Jordan, with a little bit of voice left, is going to have the latest in local news, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation here from the North Rutherford Y. You're listening to Rutherford Issues, presented today by Gills Ace Hardware on Nissan Drive in Gillsville.
The savings are big at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. Here's Jenny Williams.
Turn your Christmas to-do list into a to-done list. Get pre-lit garland or wreaths for $19.99, a 4-foot pre-lit tree for $29.99, plus LED mini, icicle, and heavy-duty light sets starting at $5.99. Command adhesive hooks are 2 packs for $5, and get a 6-foot fiberglass ladder for $34.99 after rebate.
Honoring those who put their lives on the line, I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Special activities to honor local persons who have served our country planned for the Veterans Day activities on the Murfreesboro Square, 11 o'clock Friday morning. In addition to the event being on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, this year it's also the 11th year. At that time, Murfreesboro skies are supposed to be partly sunny with temperatures around 60. Good day for an outside activity. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. From headaches, neck and back pain to nerve pain, joint pain, and arthritis, Dr. Mark Kester has been providing pain relief for over 2 decades. Call 895-1253 to set up your free consultation. It is the season to be thankful for the business leadership in the community. Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce seeking nominations for the annual Business Person of the Year and Business Legend. These awards will be presented in the Gala Business at its Best on February 3rd at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. Chamber of Commerce Vice President of Operations Stephanie Blackman says the deadline to submit nominations, Thursday, December 1st. After 16 years of tough love, a facelift for Kids Castle being planned. Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Director Lanny Goodwin proposing a $300,000 renovation of the facility. It's expected to be completed by this coming spring. 4 construction companies putting together their ideas on what's needed, and those ideas will be presented November 29th. Half the funds for the job will come from a Tennessee Department of Energy and Conservation grants. Healthy eating and active living in Tennessee, how we are doing, is the subject of a lecture slated for 7 o'clock this coming Tuesday night. It'll be at MTSU in the State Farm Lecture Hall of the University's Business and Aerospace Building. For details on these stories and more, check out our website, WGNSradio.com, or follow us on Twitter at WGNSradio. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date. This is WGNS News.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
This is the G-Man. Go see Robert McConnell and Ken Mobbs. They are honest, reliable, and they treat their customers like family.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust.
Give them a call today at 896-1407.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Service you can trust.
Tell them the G-Man sent you.
Blue Raider fans come in all sizes, and Lightning's Locker Room has gear for the smallest of fans. The Little Raider section has the only selection for your little ones. From onesies to bibs, overalls, and booties. Everything in between, just for your infants, toddlers, and young Big Blue fans. Lightning's Locker Room is at 910 Richley Road, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. Stop in and see the Little Raider section of apparel at Lightning's Locker Room.
If your oil is leaking and your brakes are squeaking, call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Service you can trust. On Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest service, fair prices.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. As you make your way home this afternoon, guys, happy to report things look pretty good along Interstate 24. You are going to see a little slower traffic at the I-40, I-24 split, but not looking too bad at the moment. Along 840, traveling both directions right around Sulphur Springs Road, we are seeing quite a few brake lights, so be careful in that area. And along your secondaries, guys, we have an entry accident at the intersection of South Rutherford and Floyd. However, that should be cleaned out of the way pretty soon, so it might not cause too much of a problem. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant has a brand new menu. Stop in for lunch or dinner or see them online at LasPalmasMXRest.com. With traffic, I'm John Boyce for WGNS.
Count on us to be talking local. Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
The North Rutherford County Edition is brought to you by Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Welcome back in as we continue from the North Rutherford Y. Brian Barrett along with State Representative Mike Sparks, and we'll be sharing a few mics here. Is that all right?
Test, okay.
That works out pretty good. Kind of, what are we talking about here, Mike?
Well, what we've got, I guess, these issues kind of flow together. We've got Kathy Hines that's been on with us. We talked about human trafficking. This Human Trafficking Awareness Week. People aren't familiar with human trafficking, sex trafficking. They may have heard that term. You know, it's sad that this is where our country's at, folks. I mean, you know, people just need to, if they don't know about this, they just need to learn a little bit about it, because this could be their niece, this could be their granddaughter, this could be their daughter. But Governor Haslam proclaimed this week Human Trafficking Awareness Week, and I've got a few folks here that can talk about that, and this kind of ties into this other group. We've got Lieutenant Salandy with the Workhouse and Representative with Hugs here, and I think this kind of ties in with some of this. But got some guests here and want them to kind of share their thoughts on it.
Very good. Marion Williams, director, you've got your mic on there. We've got so many microphones and wires around, I can't figure out where things are going. Marion, tell me a little bit about Trafficking in America Task Force, if you would.
Well, we birthed this organization a few months ago. We've actually been working on this issue for 8 years. My wife and I made a movie a few years ago called A Dance for Bethany. And we had no idea, like most of America, that this issue even existed in our nation. Always heard about it in third world, Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines. But we learned that it's happening not only in America, but most recently when we moved to Tennessee about 3 years ago, we found out it's all over Tennessee. In fact, I'm looking at a TBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, map of trafficked cases in the last 24 months. It includes 4,000 cases. 78 of the 95 counties have records of trafficking. 68 of those counties have domestic minor children trafficked, and that's anything under 18. So human trafficking is an issue that works. Now the drug cartels are snatching our young children. They're either abducting them or recruiting them. They're no longer even classified as drug cartels by the government. They're now called NCOs, or National Criminal Organizations, because they have less risk and more reward in trafficking your daughter or your young son than they do in trafficking drugs. Okay? Human trafficking is simply the abducting against one's will, especially if they're under 18, and coercing them into performing any type of unwarranted sex act. Okay? And there's a whole definition on human trafficking that's on our website, Trafficking in America Task Force. But this is happening in our county, it's happening in our state, and it's certainly happening in Davidson County and Rutherford County. The four major counties in Tennessee are Coffee, believe it or not, rural county, and then, of course, the counties you would expect, which are Shelby, Memphis, Davidson, Nashville, and Knoxville, Knox County. But would you expect a lot of trafficking? Is one of the major counties in our state for trafficking is Coffee County. There's many reasons for that, not the least of which are methamphetamine, Oxycontin, heroin, all the other drugs that actually induce parents to traffic their young children for drug money.
I would assume interstate access, too, would be, and since it's right there off the interstate.
We're a hub for interstates. We border Alabama, we border Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Missouri, and Arkansas, and Mississippi. And we have, Interstate 40, Interstate 65, I-55, 240, 55, in 24. We're an interstate network, which is a normal scenario or environment for traffickers to come in and through. But this trafficking, these traffickers are not just passing through. They're settling down here and trafficking on a daily basis in your backyard and my backyard.
Now, you showed that or had that map there. Give us some information about Rutherford County. Is there any specific information about Rutherford that you can pass along?
Well, I don't have the stats broken out that way on Rutherford, but there is trafficking activity in Rutherford. At least 51 to 100 cases, it looks like, have been reported in Rutherford. Now, these are by social services and law enforcement. That means if we know the 50, we know about 50 to 100 cases, there's nobody going out taking a census, okay? So if we know that there's 50 to 100, there could be thousands that we don't know about. Because this is documented, the second fastest growing crime in the world, and soon to be the number one crime in America, believe it or not, competing with illegal weapons sales and drug money for revenue, not only among the former drug cartels, but among organized crime, gangs, and your average pimps. Pimps are a big part of this now. And another thing we're trying to do is bring education to the youth about the pimp culture. Pimping is not cool. If people just understood how a pimp treats a new, how they season, beat them down, and condition them to come into to the prostitution, being prostituted, it would scare you to the point you would never think that pimping is cool, or you would think pimp my ride is certainly not something that you want to watch or be a part of. The first thing a pimp does with a young girl is a gang raper. They videotape this, they put her on drugs, and they begin to beat down her personality. And if your daughter's name was Susie yesterday or last week, it's going to be, I don't even know if I can say the word this week, okay? They're treated like slaves. They are slaves. It's called the sex slave trade. And over a period of time, the arrest records of these young girls when they're prostituted, and they will show as a teenager 8 or 9 or 10 different arrests. Each arresting photo is descending. You would not believe the complexion and the expressions on these girls' faces. On the 9th or 10th arrest, I like to put it this way, there's just nobody home. When you can look into the eyes of that arrested victim that's been prostituted, 12, 13, 14 years old, been arrested numerous times, and you look at her over a period of time, and you can see there's no soul there. They've literally stolen not only her youth or his youth, because they do traffic young boys as well and men, but they steal her soul, her very soul. And it takes years to rescue these young victims and restore them. FBI says they have about a 50% success rate with ever restoring one of these traffic victims. It's very serious. And if you don't even know that it's happening, or if you just think it's a third world overseas issue, at least wake up and realize when your child goes down the road to the store unaccompanied, they could literally be abducted, number one. But that's not even the half of it. The internet is the number one recruiting tool in America today. Not only Craigslist, which we know about, Backpage, which we know about, but Facebook is now the number one recruiting tool in America for trafficked victims. And it's so easy to get lured in, and the people who do the trafficking know exactly what they're doing.
Mike, can you turn your headset around right there? Now, how are all of these organizations coming together? What were you saying just a moment ago?
Well, you know, I think what I kind of see my position is trying to bring awareness to some of these issues. And unfortunately, a lot of your law enforcement don't know about a lot of these issues, whether it's synthetic drugs or this crime. And I know when Kathy Hines first came to me, I thought it was a third world country situation. I said, well, this didn't happen in Rutherford County. This didn't happen in Tennessee. She said, it is. And I just thought it was gangs, foreign gangs, minorities. Didn't realize it's happening right here in middle America, you know. And I think, you know, there's a good quote, and you've heard me say this, by Edmund Burke, that says, evil will triumph when good men do nothing. And we got a lot of good men out there doing nothing. Got a lot of good deacons doing nothing. A lot of good pastors doing nothing, you know. I guarantee you, half your deacons, and if there's a deacon listening right here, they don't even know about this problem. They don't know about these. They don't know about synthetic drugs. The church has got to get involved in these issues. They can't remain silent. And that's what we're seeing is churches remaining silent. They're scared to get involved. I don't want to get too boisterous about this stuff, but, you know, it really bothers me because I see leaders that sit on the fence and they're clueless in many cases, you know. But that's where I'm glad that I see people like these that are full of passion that, I mean, these folks right here, like Sherry right here or Kathy, they got more passion than 100 average men is what I call it. 100 average men. And that's what it's going to take to make a difference in this world.
Sherry, tell me about HUGS. What does HUGS stand for?
HUGS stands for Humility, Understanding, God's Grace, Spiritual Strength. And it is a nonprofit organization designed to help ex-offenders to become productive in society.
What does it stand for again?
Humility, Understanding, God, Grace, Spiritual Strength.
All right. Nonprofit. So who do you work with?
I work with ex-offenders, and if they have a misdemeanor, a felony, or even just a traffic violation or something, I work with them, those type of people.
Now, kind of give me some background here, Mike. You're going to have to help guide the bus here on the net. We've got about seven minutes here.
We've got her group out there, and I know I may step on a few toes, but, you know, really, She doesn't even have help from her own leaders in Nashville, let's face it.
No.
You know, Sherry's out there, she's trying to make things happen. She got a building donated to her the other day, you know, God bless you for it. And she's making some things happen. Basically what she does, she helps past inmates find work. And I think you had your most successful event about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yes, we had it in July. What we did was we did a community expo, a resource expo first, and we had a different agencies to come out. We had like 38 agencies that come out to let ex-offenders know that they can get help. That was the first part of the expo. The second part of the expo was jobs, and we had only jobs there. 25 people got hired that day, and out of the whole actual job expo, 41 people had got hired. And our last up to date, it was 31 people that are still hired as of today. So we're trying to make things happen to get the jobs for ex-offenders so that they would not go reoffend and go back to prison. Now, as he was talking about our building, we got a building, and what we're going to do is have a bakery. And they're going to train in the bakery for 6 months, and we're going to partner with some of the baking companies like Nashville Bun, and we hope that they get them hired after the 6 months training. Also, upstairs from the bakery is a living quarters. It's a 3-bedroom living quarters where they're going to be able to live upstairs for free as they go through the program. So we want them to know that there's somebody out there to help them, because the first time when an ex-offender get out and they get into a transitional house, they're worried about the rent, and then that's going to lead them to do the same thing that they did before. So we don't want them to worry. We want them to be able to train, do the HUGS program, and then be able to progress in the near future.
Superintendent Salandi is also here from the Rutherford County Correctional Work Center. And did I get all that name right?
Yes, you did.
Close enough.
He corrected me. It's superintendent, not lieutenant.
Well, I mean, it's nothing like it's on his shirt or anything.
I'm sorry. I didn't see it.
But how important is what this HUGS program is doing for, I mean, you see these guys every day, men and women who come into the program. When they leave you, how important is it for something like, what Sherry's trying to do here?
Well, to me, the only way the system works is to have these programs to supplement what the governments are doing. And programs like Sherry's with HUGS, and Ms. Williams with Doors of Hope, and Ms. Maridel, she'll be telling you about that in a second. These are the programs that after we do everything we can while they are incarcerated, introducing them to different programs, faith-based programs, trying to get their GEDs, and, you know, now we're trying to do a work release program where they can stay employed while they're still incarcerated. These things are all great, but if you don't have these backup systems like HUGS and Doors of Hope to bring them in and actually put them into the society is what they're doing. You know, they showing them how to be responsible and keep a job and what you do when you are working, you know.
Otherwise, you're going to see them again.
Oh, at least not.
We're going to pay for them again.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, when I meet people like Sherry and Maridel, we open our doors to them and say, come on, let's work together. Because that's the only way it's going to work. And sure. The churches also.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know.
Before we run out of time, and we've only got a couple of minutes, Maridel Williams with Doors of Hope, tell us a bit about your program, if you would.
Sure. We are a very new 501c3 in Rutherford County, working exclusively with the women in the Rutherford County Correctional Work Center. We go inside, teach, and link each girl in our program with a mentor on the outside who will track with her for up to as long as that gal will, and we'll hope for up to a year. We find that the recidivism rate goes down with every day they stay with us, and the longer the better. So we have had wonderful success, to your point, Representative Sparks, about people in the community getting involved. I have had no problem getting every girl linked with a mentor, and I'm very thankful for that. As a matter of fact, we have a waiting list of women who want to do this, so we are doing everything we can to involve our community and all of the other agencies with like-minded, whether they provide transitional housing, jobs, emergency food, clothing, shelter, whatever they provide. We want to collaborate, and we do hope soon to see some sort of transitional housing come up out of the ground so that our girls don't have to walk out the door into a black hole to the point we never see them again. Because when that happens, they become then, unfortunately, fodder for the human trafficking, which is becoming such a blight on our society.
But more information on, do you have a website?
On the back of the card.
Okay.
Yeah.
opendoorsofhope.org, the website there. And well, you said fairly new. How new is
about
new?
7 months old.
Wow.
And rocking right along. And we've been so thankful for Superintendent Salandi opening the door to us, and has done everything in the world he could to help us succeed with this program. So we're really thankful for that. Yeah.
Another website to keep in mind, Trafficking in America, taskforce.org. Mark that down. And to all of our guests, we thank you for being here. I know we kind of only touched the surface on some of these things, but sometimes that's all it takes, and then hopefully we'll have a chance to get back together soon. Thank you. Mike, appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
And for all of those listening in today, hope you enjoyed the program. If you missed part of it, don't forget to head to our website, WGNSradio.com, and there you can download the podcast and listen live. Stay tuned. All Sports Talk is coming up next on WGNS. Have a good one.